Today, we begin a four-week journey through the fifth chapter of Matthew. One of these times in the church year where we sort of get contiguous readings on Sunday morning. And what we heard today are the very first teachings of Jesus in the very first gospel. Yes, biblical historians will remind me that Matthew is not the first gospel and that Mark is older. I get that, I know that, but Matthew's first in the book, okay, people? So can we just work with that today? And up to this point in Matthew, Jesus hasn't really taught a whole lot of anything. We've had a virgin birth, we've got a visit by some wise men, some kids got killed, we won't talk about that much on Sunday. We came back from Egypt, got baptized in the River Jordan, spent a little time in the desert being tempted by the devil, did some healing, and now, we get to the very first things that Jesus teaches in the very first gospel. And I bring that up because I think there's something important. The folks who put these stories together put the first things first for some reason, and there's something in that they wanted us to know. And this is Jesus' first lesson, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That is how Jesus begins his teaching that we still follow today. Jesus goes on in this passage to tell us who is blessed and why. The hungry, the sad, the persecuted, and the meek. And this piece of scripture can make us feel good. It is a piece of scripture that has been shared with those who are suffering to give them hope about what lies ahead. It is a lesson that says, even in the darkness, there will be light. And what I want us to think about here this morning is what role we play in bringing about that light. The role that we play in creating this kingdom of heaven that is in the here and now. The blessings that we receive so often come from the acts of others, acts that can be simple or sacrificial. And what that means is if we are going to be blessed, we have to be part of blessing others. Now, there's a whole bunch of blessings here in the Beatitudes. Each one could be a book unto itself. We really unpack what Jesus meant and how Christians have lived into these over the centuries. We get a really wonderful, revealing story about our faith. But I want to start at the beginning. I want to start where we are. I want to think about what we can do. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Before we get to the meek, the hungry, the merciful, and the peacemakers, we start with those who are poor in spirit. Been there, done that. I mean, when I think about the idea of being poor in spirit, I think about emptiness. I think of a dark hole. I think about how I have sometimes felt lost and hopeless, powerless. Now, by the grace of God, these feelings are more fleeting than usually at this time in my life. I am not facing some life-threatening event. I am not a refugee seeking sanctuary. I am not dreading what tomorrow might bring for me and those closest to me. But I have been in these dark places. I have had periods in my life that were filled with gloom and challenges that I didn't think I could handle. So to some extent, I know what it feels like, and it does not feel like the kingdom of heaven. But I know it can lead us to see the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we need to know that we are broken to be able to get help. And it's perhaps in that acknowledgement of our brokenness, the sadness, the mourning, the pangs of hunger that put us in a position to recognize the blessings that are around us and to make it clear to others that they can and should offer help. I'm convinced that Jesus leads with this in the story because he knows that at one time or another, we will all be poor in spirit. And Jesus also knows full well that that is not the end of the story. As I think back on the dark chapters of my life, I remember the people who stood by me and stood with me. They were the hands and the feet of God. I know I didn't always recognize them at the time or appreciate them enough at the time, but they were there, ready to walk with me. And that is how we create the kingdom of heaven that blesses those who are poor in spirit among us. We are called to walk with each other in the darkness. We know that we're not on this journey alone and never will be, although there are times it feels that way. This gospel passage is a call for us to help write the next chapter in someone else's lives. The things that we do can be small or large, but we need to look for the places where we can reach out in our homes, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods. The acts can be small, even though we know that the kingdom of heaven is large. And it's clear, painfully clear, that there is work to be done. The poor in spirit seems to be a growing class. I see those concerned about the direction of this country. I see the poor in spirit who come here to worship. I see the poor in spirit in the people who come here as guests at Tony's Kitchen. I see the poor in spirit who come here looking for healing. I see it in those who have turned away from God and those who do not know God. There is emptiness. There is hurt. There is sadness and there is despair. On Thursday, I was at a gathering of clergy from different faiths all over the state of New Jersey. And we were talking about sanctuary. Not the place where we worship, but a place that's safe for those facing the threat of deportation. And sanctuary at its very heart means a place of refuge or safety. And this is what people came here seeking and are still looking for. And in this gathering Thursday, we talked about families, we talked about people, we talked about individuals who've been caught up in our immigration system. And by all accounts, the system is broken. Whether you agree or disagree with the president's position, that's not the point of this. The point is that there are real people who are scared, who are in danger, and do not feel particularly blessed and don't necessarily recognize that the kingdom of heaven is near. And we heard from one of them. Alejandra got up to tell her story. You could tell she was nervous,
You could tell there were going to be tears. She stood up with the interpreter who was going to make her words clear to most of us in that room. The interpreter put her hand on Alejandra's shoulder to comfort her, to strengthen her, to help her tell her story. And her story began. I came here when I was very young because my family was trying to escape the poverty where we lived. The story went on in that weird cadence that you sort of get when somebody's interpreting. You hear something, you understand, you pause, you wait, but it allows sometimes the words to just sort of hang there in a different way than a normal conversation. But Alejandra went on with her story. She went on to tell how she'd gotten a ticket a couple of years ago for driving without a license, which she couldn't get because she didn't have documentation. She was taking her husband to work and got in a small accident. The result? Several days in jail, months with an ankle bracelet, tens of thousands of dollars of legal fees for a family that basically worked two jobs full-time at minimum wage. But she thought it was behind her. And then they came for her again. And it wasn't the police. It was the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, ICE. She is now facing deportation. She can't afford a lawyer. Her two-year-old daughter, who was born here, is a citizen. And Alejandra could get deported and be separated from her child. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the story that she told through tears, and it is one of many, one of thousands. And there are stories just like that, two blocks this way in our neighborhood, if not closer. These are our neighbors. This is the story that they tell. These are the lives that they lead, and these are the places where we are called to offer our blessings to others. This is where we are called to be a sanctuary for those living in fear. Perhaps we are called to create the kingdom of heaven for those who are poor in spirit. And this maybe is just one of the places that we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, striving to live into this faith where we've just got two basic instructions, friends. Love God and love your neighbor. We are called to make this gospel ring true. We are called to be the blessing in other people's lives. The Beatitudes that we have at the beginning of Matthew are this beautiful lesson in some of the ways that we are blessed by God, but how we are called to be a blessing to others in the name of God. We are called sometimes to do this in the places where we seem lost. And the blessings all come from God, but God acts through us. This scripture is a call to action. We need to say yes. We need to be ready to say yes. And we don't know where that yes will lead us. God never seems to fully reveal the path, or I think we'd say no even more often than we already do. But yes is the answer. It will lead others to the kingdom of heaven. And that is the first thing that we are called to do. Amen.